All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
The cake is a lie. I'm David.
And welcome to
this is the triumph.
Sorry. I wish I could remember more of the song.
I'm not going to get any of your portal jokes. I'm sorry.
I'm actually very familiar with the song because my first significant World of Warcraft roleplay character was a member of the Royal Apothecary Society, and I like to think of that as a good song for her. Anyway.
For our first episode tonight is Teletran X, the 12th episode of Transformers Cyberverse, first aired on TV November 17th, 2018, written by Kevin Burke and Chris Wyatt.
Yay!
Previously seen writing episodes for Rescue Bots. We'll get them again on Rescue Bots Academy. But of course, Jen will tell you that they were the showrunners and executive producers of Bot Bots.
Yes! They're so good. I love them.
I just would have made a Burke and Hare joke. Okay.
They seriously, that series made them some of my favorite Transformers writers.
And this is pretty good for a Cyberverse episode.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's got that same sort of fun to it.
Yes.
They are very good at fun.
I mean, nobody is referencing Chopping Mall, but...
No, no references to Chopping Mall yet. Oh, man. BotBots is so good.
At one point, we are going to get to BotBots, and... There's a good chance it's accompanied by a Patreon of us all watching Chopping Mall.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, I am on board with
this. Jen, have you seen Chopping Mall?
We did it for Monsterdawn.
Oh, okay.
A few months ago. So I saw it intermittently interspersed with, like, looking at my Mastodon feed and commentary and all. But yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Classic cinema.
Yes. So many questions.
So many good head explosions. Well, one head explosion that we see multiple times.
Yes.
So much group sex in a furniture store.
Yes.
Wait, was Barbara Crampton in that?
She is in that.
Yay.
Yes, she is.
And it's a movie from the 80s, so she's also naked in it.
Yes.
The eternal lesbian dilemma of do we really need boobies, and also, I like boobies.
Hmm.
I will note that she is not the woman whose head explodes.
Yes.
No.
Anyway, so, we begin right where the last one picked up, the hijacked Decepticon ship that Bee and Windblade have been tooling around in has been blown up. And so now they're taking shelter by a movie billboard. Ooh. A billboard for the return of Sharknator.
Yes, which is apparently a shark Terminator Rambo.
Yes.
And also, I believe Kit is there.
A red Kit from Knight Rider.
Yes.
He's a repaint.
He was fighting for his life. This time, he's fighting for the future. Return of Sharknator.
This is the same energy that they bring to to BotBots. So
yes,
looking forward to that.
Notably distributed by Smells Like Fish Productions. And so, you know, they have to freeze as
one of the seekers
as a car drives by with a kid. It appears to be the same. Station wagon driven by the Griswolds.
Is this the first human we've seen?
It is the first human we've seen, and according to the wiki, it is the only human we will ever see on Cyberverse.
The fuck? Just a child in a car window zipping by.
That is correct.
Is the only human...
I'm impressed that we got that much.
With a line.
He has a line.
Unnamed child in window.
Yep.
The only human in this entire series.
Yep. Yeah, I think this may be Rusty Griswold. Anyway, so yeah, they have to freeze it. Of course, that kid, hey, he wants to see that movie.
the two robots fighting.
Yeah, after the Seeker goes by, they get in front of the poster and, yeah.
Yes, and they pose in front of the poster in fighting robot poses.
So then they also head over to an airport where they are not seen by anybody, despite being right in the middle of a parking lot.
Yeah, because it's a parking lot right next to the airfield, because Windblade is parked on the other side of the fence, which is kind of cute, but...
Yeah, she's a plane.
Yes, but you guys do know that people, like, go back to their cars, right?
Well, I mean, maybe it's a little airfield and nobody's hanging around.
And usually the parking lot isn't quite that close to where the planes park.
No.
I mean, if it's a little bitty airport, I have seen...
Close, yes. Like, the planes are parked...
I'm going to defer to Jen here, airport expert.
Yes. Like, I...
Well, okay, admittedly, that's
yesterday,
sort of better, like, planes usually parked on one side, then there's the building, and then the building's where the car park is.
Yesterday, I drove by a little airport out near Front Royal, Virginia, that had planes parked this close to the parking lot, so...
Okay.
Little bitty airports.
The little local one, I think, is a little bit further.
Ones that are more private flights and not so much, like, commercial passenger flights.
Oh, no, definitely not commercial ones. What the fuck just beeped at me? Discord has changed its beep noise and it just pissed me off.
Oh, right, I heard about that. I always keep it on silent, so I do not know.
Well, normally, it's not actually a bad difference, but it's a difference. It just confused me. Anyway.
Yeah, so they're chatting here, they pick up a signal. An Autobot distress signal.
They gotta check it out.
So they're heading there, and it turns out it is indeed a creepy abandoned missile silo.
Yay, my favorite! My favorite place to explore in Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah. Fun tunnels. Big vertical tunnels.
So they clamber down there, and they meet a drone. A drone called Teletran X.
Dun dun dun!
It's the backup for Teletran 1.
It's this little sort of like almost like Nautilus shaped thing that's got a big eye in the front and
sort of snail like kind of.
You kind of have to look up what it looks like, but yes, it's a little flying drone thing, but not like a diagnostic drone or anything.
No, it's it kind of makes me think of Skeets.
Yeah!
The robot buddy of Booster Gold.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Wait, what does Skeets look like? I know Skeets is gold, but I don't remember what shape he is.
He's kind of like a football with a lens. Yeah. He's got like little wings sometimes.
Yeah.
And because of Justice Unlimited, I think of him as Billy West.
Well, yes.
Well, yeah, because he was... Wasn't he Billy West in Justice League Unlimited?
Right, yes.
Yes.
Just doing Billy West voice.
And it is not very helpful because it consistently... anybody who is not crew of the arc is addressed solely as not crew.
Yes. Yeah.
He just doesn't want to talk to anyone.
He scans Windblade first and says, not crew, and then scans Bumblebee and is like, hi, crew! Yes.
But this is hindered, of course, by the fact that Bumblebee can't really talk in a conventional sense, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward for everybody.
This would probably be dragged out better if this was a longer episode, but he can kind of string together enough clips that he can basically tell Teletran X what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it's not, like, voice identified. It's, like, improper voice or anything. That would be way more annoying.
He's crew.
It's like, as long as anything Bumblebee says, it's like, yeah, that's fine.
As long as he's crew. Windblade, not crew.
No. But unfortunately, this is a trap.
And she tells
indeed,
them.
Yes. Anadid, Slipstream, and the Seekers are here.
Well, because I am a trap, he says.
Yes. Because I am a trap. I mean, he's really bait, but fair enough.
You think he would have, like, told them this previously?
No, he didn't think to.
Well, he had the verify thing, and then Windblade was annoying him, and he just didn't get to it.
And also, he's not going to obey the Decepticons, because they are not crew either.
Yeah, so it is weird he does say that. Unless Slipstream had to spend, like, an entire day convincing him that even though you're not crew, I can't tell you something, even though you are the trap, but you can't tell anyone you're the trap, because I'm not crew.
It's like, yeah.
I imagine it was a long, hilarious discussion that would have reminded me of Portal 2. Because this thing started talking, is like, oh, it's Wheatley, but dumber.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Wheatley being the main... A round ball you pick up at the beginning of the game and is your companion through about half the game, who's helpful and a pain in the ass at the same time. Voiced by a British comedian, I forget his name. He's a really tall, skinny dude. Anyway.
Yeah, so...
There's no use crying over every mistake. Okay, go on.
So yeah, they're fighting, and of course they... Unfortunately for the Decepticons, they need to get them both in alive. Because B is the only person who Teletran X will talk to, and Windblade is the only thing that will make them... Well, they will make Bumblebee do what they want to do.
Yes.
So they do, like, torture Windblade with this sort of, like, chain thing?
Yeah, I mean, they just basically wrap her in an energy chain. Mm-hmm. It's unpleasant, but it's not, like, hardcore unpleasant.
But indeed, Teletran X does act to defend Bumblebee, who then...
Oh my goodness.
And so, they...
Come here, Jelly.
So they make a break for it.
Sorry, Jelly has derailed things.
So, of course, Teletran X, they have to get it, because it's the only thing that knows where the arc is. So Windblade sort of brings down some of the ceiling on these Decepticons, and...
There's a whole chase,
it's okay.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm. They are able to get a map, they will use Teletran X's map, get back to where they came in. But unfortunately, Windblade is going to have to keep them occupied while B and Teletran X make their escape. So, despite his reluctance, B has to leave, which means that B no longer has an adult.
Oh no!
Yes.
Oh no!
No more babysitter.
Teletran X is not really much of an adult either, so...
No, so... But he is, well, fortunately able to fit into a sports car somehow.
Yes. He's able to fit in the passenger seat.
And so B transforms and drives off. And that is where the episode ends.
The end.
This one was, like I said, the Teletran X stuff sort of livened this up a little.
Yeah. Yeah, he's weird and inconvenient without quite being annoying. He's entertaining.
Yes.
I'm helping!
Not quite frustrating. So,
no. And also, if this is the 80s, it absolutely would have been like Frank Welker doing a Slimer voice.
Doing a Scooter / Herbie voice.
Yep, Scooter probably.
Definitely a Herbie voice.
He needs to come back for Fantastic Four. He needs to come back for the movie.
I'm afraid it's going to be, I don't know, Natasha Lyonne or somebody.
Probably she's in the movie somewhere.
Can't be a robot. She's got to be on screen.
I mean, my...
She's too good to be a robot.
Weird theory is that she is...
Alicia...
She's...
What's her name?
I was actually thinking Willy Lumpkin.
Oh, that would be fun.
Who the fuck is Willy Lumpkin?
Sorry?
Well, who the fuck is Willy Lumpkin?
He's the Fantastic Four's mailman.
All right. I honestly do not remember his existence at all.
If you watched the first Fantastic Four movie, he's played by Stan Lee.
I don't remember those movies much. They were bad.
Got your mail for you, Mr. and Mrs. Richards. Excelsior.
I mean, if I had to cast Natasha Lyonne as someone who, like, isn't Dr. Doom, Mole Man.
Oh, man, Natasha Lyonne as Dr. Doom? Just Dr. Doom was just from Queens for some reason?
Yeah.
Or It's not his face that was damaged in the accident.
But we know who Dr. Doom is going to be.
I know we know who Dr. Doom is. That's what I'm just saying.
And I believe that's stupid, but whatever.
I still think he needs to do a Tommy Wiseau accent.
Yes. Please, accent.
Instead of his face, it was his vocal cords that were damaged, so he just sounds like Natasha Lyonne. Yes. Hey, curse you, Richards.
Unfortunate.
But anyway, in the comics, Willie Lumpkin has a younger niece, Wilhelmina Lumpkin, who's a redhead.
There you go.
Okay, sure.
So I'm thinking Natasha Lyonne, but she could also just... But also I could see her as Alicia Masters.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of sounds like the Thing already.
That's the thing, like, her having a... Alicia having a thicker accent than the Thing feels unbalanced. What would be fun?
Well, I don't know what... I mean, he might be doing an accent. I don't know.
He better fucking be.
Better be some accents
I
going
mean, he kind
on.
Of has an accent already.
Need some accents in here.
I'd also say either you guys watch The Bear. Or did you watch The Punisher?
Yes.
No?
The Netflix one? Yes.
He was... he was Microchip in that first season.
Oh,
I've seen
okay.
two of The Punisher movies.
I mean, I definitely watched the Netflix series. It's been a while, so I remember yes. Microchip being in it, but not, like, what he sounded like.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, it's not quite Thing thick, but he might be doing it for the movie.
Need an accent. Have to have an accent. It's important.
I mean, those are not... Those Jessica Alba movies are not great, but I do think that they've got a pretty good Thing in them. Chiklis is good.
Yeah. Costume not so great, but Chiklis was a good casting, is the thing.
I mean, I appreciate that it's practical, at least, although apparently there is some sort of practical element to it, because Dan Slott was posting about how he visited the set and they let him work the Thing hand.
Oh no.
Didn't we see pictures of the on-set Thing, I thought?
Well, they did like a big group shot of like the cast and then a bunch of creators that they invited there, including Ryan North.
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking about, I thought we saw on-set Thing pictures.
Okay. And Dan Slott, and I believe there's about 2 feet separating Dan Slott and Ryan North in height.
Hmm.
And I've met them both, and as a person of normal height, I can confirm that Slott is quite short, and Ryan North is enormously tall. Anyway, Slott was saying that he was able to make the Thing hand do a thumbs up, but was unable to make it give Tom Brevoort the finger.
Aww.
Is that link so damn tiny?
Although I'm not sure how that would work, because it... Sometimes the Thing has 5 fingers, and sometimes he only has 4.
I prefer
the 4 version. It's weirder, but...
So I don't know which finger you would give to with the 4 fingers.
The middle one.
I guess the middle one, yeah.
It's still the middle one, you're just missing the pinky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's more middle.
It's more centered.
I mean, I guess it also depends what... I mean, it's important not to think too... deeply about the Thing's anatomy, because that way lies madness.
Yes.
And also Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah. Let's... No. No, 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 no. Nope.
Anyway, this episode, which is not about a guy's junk made of orange rocks.
No.
Matrix of Leadership. We got the touch, and we got the power. Yeah.
You got the touch. Okay, sorry. You got the touch.
First aired November 24th, 2018.
Yeah.
Written by Brandon Aumann. This is actually his only Transformers credit.
Really?
Yes.
And it's about an extremely Transformers Thing.
Yes. Well, apparently he was the story editor on Super Robot Monkey Team Hyperforce Go, which I've never seen.
Okay.
It's entertain. It's a really weird throwback to old stuff. And old Sentai, among other things. It's actually pretty fun. It was fun at the time, but the animation is kind of cheap. Mm. But sort of cheap and unintentional. Oh, we're referencing Astro Boy kind of way.
Oh. Also story editor on Iron Man Armored Adventures, which was that CG show where Iron Man was a teen.
Oh, no.
Okay. Don't know about that one.
And the 2012 CG animated Ninja Turtle show.
Oh. Okay.
I guess that's okay.
That's a good one.
That one was fun. I mean, it does have, Robert Englund and John Kassir as a group of evil dream invading beavers called the Dream Beavers.
Oh, that's where those guys are from. Yeah, that's
you can't do that. That's not right.
He's also the head writer on Star Wars Resistance. The
Is that the one that nobody liked that much?
That's the one that nobody likes.
The flying one, racing kids. Yeah.
But I will say that he is the showrunner on The Legend of Vox Machina, and I think people like that one. That's the one that's based on, was it League of Legends or something?
No, not League of Legends.
That's Arcane. Vox Machina is about it's a Let's Play, isn't it? It's like a...
Yeah, it's an actual play on Twitch.
It's basically some people's RPG.
Critical Role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tabletop RPG group.
It's a tabletop speaking RPG of, group made of voice actors.
Speaking of role playing,
who overact.
Okay. So yeah, that's a show that I've heard of, although I was thinking of confusing it with a totally different show.
Yeah, you were thinking of Arcane.
Neither of which I've seen.
Yeah,
I should watch Vox Machine.
I ain't got time for all this stuff that's on.
Show.
I had to make a point last night to get caught up on Agatha All Along.
Yes.
Ooh, good show.
And then I watched another episode of Twin Peaks, The Return, which is weirdly meditative.
Ooh, are you up to episode 8 yet?
Of the first season? Yes. That's the, really slow stuff happening.
Got a light.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got a light. Yeah.
It's just, it's weird and creepy, but also it's just so slow and deliberate. So it's like, I have ADHD, and this is a show that's asking me to sit here for a moment with what is happening. And yes, what is happening is weird, but it's oddly calming the way that it's insisting that I just sit here and take it as it is and not expect things to happen at any kind of rapid pace and just sit here in this weird, strange silence and experience it. And I don't know if that was the intention, but it's weirdly calming. But yeah, that episode was really...
Sometimes you're just gonna spend
unsettling, but also good.
This is the water, and this is the well. But yeah, sometimes that show is just you're gonna spend 5 minutes watching a guy sweeping a floor while Green Onions plays, and you're just in that David Lynch groove, baby.
You're just there in the moment. You're just experiencing. He's just asking you to slow down a second, stop expecting things to happen constantly, and just so it is. It's very meditative, but also weird and unsettling, and I'm really enjoying that about it.
We are definitely going to have to do that Lynch Dune movie one of these days.
Yes.
One of these days when we have a lot of time. That may be one of those that has to get split into two episodes.
Because
it's a lot. There's one scene. I don't think we need to do the extended cut, but there's one scene that's in the extended cut that I would say you need to experience.
Is that the weird intro with the pictures?
Singing.
Yeah, there's a little musical bit. I mean, not a musical bit. Musical
I thought
bit,
I'd seen
but
the extended bit. I don't remember the singing.
Oh, I watched the extended version.
There are various cuts. There's a TV cut that Lynch hates. I mean, not that Lynch is crazy, but the whole thing.
I guess maybe I'll
see. But he hated the one enough to put the Alan Smithy name on it.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking of that I found somewhere and watched. And for the most part, I think that it would be fine to view the theatrical one, except there's one scene from that one that I think needs to be added in.
I mean, anyway. You don't want to open your movie with Virginia Madsen dropping a bunch of exposition on you.
Yes.
Anyway, that's so, you know so this episode... So B has escaped the Decepticons, but he's got Teletrinex with him. But he does not know... but he does have Teletrinex with him, so... But, Teletrinex is not too bothered because, Windblade, she's not crew.
I mean, she doesn't matter. They can just leave her alone. Because yep. She's and not rude. They don't need to save her.
And then he just leaves him by the side of the road. Like a plastic bottle full of trucker pee.
Yes, but Teletran X is also a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, yeah. Ancient aliens.
Yes.
He says
ancient
that,
aliens built the pyramids?
The ancient Egyptians were from Alpha Centauri.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so he does eventually catch up with Bumblebee, and so Bee is finally, listen, where's the Ark? And Teletran X is all, I don't know.
Yes, that is the great secret. I have no clue.
So Bee is pretty discouraged by this.
There's this whole big deal that about him because they needed to have Teletran X because he knew where the Ark is, and actually it turns out he doesn't know. He does not actually know.
Nope. So it is time to once more patch in with the because luckily Teletran 1, very conveniently for the plot, has one of these. And
yes, he's a portable one. Hooray!
Yep, and links it up so we can go back into the cyberverse of Bee's mind. So we're back in the early days of the war, and Bee and Prime have found the dying Alpha Trion, recently seen also dying in Transformers 1.
Yes, A3's back.
I guess that's what he does now. He's become like Optimus Prime.
Well, I mean, that's kind of always a thing. Doesn't he also kind of die in,
Well, he gets merged with Vector Sigma.
Right.
So he doesn't really die, but he does kind of die.
Yeah, and he kind of shows up to be like an Obi-Wan. And I guess we travel back in time and find him at various points.
Yeah.
Younger and younger each time.
Yes, with a smaller and darker mustache.
Yep, we get to see. Again, like I said, it's kind of surprising that this guy hasn't done any Transformers stuff, because this is a very Transformers lore-heavy episode.
Yeah, we're getting into the deep lore.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, Prion is dying. Ratchet's really the only thing keeping him alive. And, you know, Prion's like, I know this war isn't going great, but he did what he thought he had to do, so I'm now going to pass on to you, Matrix of Leadership.
Which he's just keeping in a suitcase.
It's just got in a box next to him.
I think this is also like a thing from G1 where Alpha Trion had the Matrix, but he was not himself like the bearer of the Matrix. He just had it.
I don't think we ever see in the cartoon where Optimus gets the Matrix from, do we?
I think this comes up in Five Fingers of Darkness, which is much different.
Five Finger Discount of Darkness.
I was going to say that Five Fingers of Darkness is the porno parody, but we're not going to get into that.
No, McAdams was a previous episode we did. Hashtag McAdams.
Hashtag, yeah, I guess I could have mentioned when we were talking about the impact of McAdams on the fandom that ended up being a hashtag that people used to differentiate, like, real fan stuff from people posting, like, movie stuff on Tumblr.
Yeah, which now mostly I just see robots kissing there, which is good.
Yeah, it's a lot of robots kissing these days.
But no, I think that Alpha Trion like gets the Matrix in like one of those like weird visions that Rodimus has in Five Phases of Darkness, where he has the Matrix and then he gives it to Prime at some point.
Gives it to Prime, but Trion is not himself generally a Matrix.
Well, maybe user. He just knows it.
Maybe he tried and it was like Scourge that one time that Scourge had the Matrix.
They do kind of look like each other.
That's what I was about to say. It won't work on him. He knows that because he knows he's later going to be a Scourge remole.
Oh.
Like, hasn't he been Scourge remole? No, just the once, I think.
I mean, there have been now a surprising number of Alpha Trion toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like... Yeah, just a Scourge remold the once, and only fairly recently. I previously thought that he was one, but no, that was a Vector Prime remold that they did for one of the conventions.
There was Alpha Lion.
And Alpha Lion, which...
Yes, because he was the...
Alpha Lion.
Because he was the Vector Prime one, because his mini-con was Betamax.
Yes.
Which, okay, fine.
We'll give you that one, convention.
Yeah, that's... I forgot about Alpha Lion.
And his mini-con Betamax.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Cinnamon is being fussy again.
No,
I'm
very
petting
cute.
Him. He's in my lap, and I'm petting him, and he's just yelling.
Oh! He was a Scourge remold twice.
He's a snowshoe.
But once was in Japan. Wait, did it actually come out? Oh, no, it was just a mock-up that didn't come out. Okay. It was almost twice, but still.
So, yeah, so Prime takes on the Matrix, and we cut back, and B's all, well, hey, you know, may have... Optimus Prime could have been a file clerk. Maybe that I, a scout, am also not super useless.
So we are going with the file clerk origin.
Yes.
For Orion Pax. Take it a drink. Mm-hmm. No.
I think they don't actually say Orion Pax in this.
They do not call him Orion Pax. That is correct. I guess they figure that's going a little too... That's adding more details than they really need to.
Although, hey, they did it in the movie.
He was a file clerk. So we are going with the aligned continuity.
Yes. The aligned continuity / DreamWorks.
Yes. DreamWave?
So sorry?
DreamWave?
Yeah, DreamWave, because yes. The comics, like The War Within, that's, I think, the first time we see the file clerk thing.
Okay, so that's a Furman thing.
Yes. I don't recall if that came up in the UK comics at all. I don't think so.
I don't think so. Do not believe so.
Yeah. So anyway, we're cutting back to war flashbacks. B and Wheeljack are around. Prowl gets blasted. And
leave them. Leave them to die.
True, they should.
Fucking Prowl.
He's the worst.
He is. He's the worst. He's going to be an Earth Spark.
Oh, that's right, he is.
Curious to see how much of the worst he's going to be.
Yeah. But, of course, they do indeed go back for him, although Prime goes back for him. Even though Prowl says, you shouldn't have. And Prowl is probably right.
Yes. Leave him. Leave him.
So, hey, cut to another... This sort of has the structure of a clip show, even though it's not a clip show. So this time, B and Prime, they're fighting Starscream and the Seekers. You know, the Seekers can't stop Prime because he's got the power of the Matrix. And we get a scene where Prime turns into his truck mode and runs over Starscream that is much less cooler than how he does it in the movie.
Yeah, I can't really top that. Did you see the Toy Hack sticker set for the Studio Series Optimus that has the cone head in?
I did see that. That is indeed hilarious. That's Thrust, which is notable because I think that's the only memorable thing Thrust ever does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dirge is kind of gothy. Ramjet likes to bonk things with his head. Thrust got run over by Optimus Prime that one time.
Yes. Yeah, that's entirely his thing, but it's like. The sticker is like, it's with the indents, you have to stick it on and sort of push bits of him in, which is neat, but it's such a tiny bits of sticker.
F with the toy hacks.
I like the idea, but some of them are way too detailed like that.
I was not good at putting on stickers when I was a kid. I'm not any better at it now.
I liked doing it as a kid. It was relaxing on Christmas.
They're a neat idea.
I mean, I'd been that as a fond memory. I was used to do with my dad, who would insist on referring to them as decals.
Decals.
I mean, that's, you know, like on a model, I guess, right?
I mean, decal, yeah.
Or decals.
But decals.
We're Canadian, you know.
Canadian. Oh, cute. Did I just had to fix a link on Alpha Trion's webpage that wasn't working on the wiki.
Oh. Hey, we're doing a public service here.
Yeah.
It happens every once in a while when we're doing episodes. It's like... Wait, that's the wrong boat that we're talking about. It's like, Alpha Trion with mustache, white mustache, and full beard. The image is broken.
Oh.
So now it is not broken. Anyway.
So, you know, they realize that they're now in the old Senate chambers after, of course, Megatron destroyed the chamber. There's a big statue of Prima.
Hey, Prima.
The first Transformer. I can already see. Is Prima one of the 12? I think.
He's in the movie. The new one.
I can never remember who's one of the 12, who's not one of the 12. That stuff all kind of runs off me like water off a duck's back.
I do believe so.
Man.
Well, I believe he's one of the 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although apparently in the movie he is Prima Prime, which is stupid.
Which is even worse.
Well, because they're all primes, so it sort of makes sense. But yes, it's very dumb.
Anyway, I guess I'll probably remember them better next year if they do them all as toys.
Hmm.
Like I said, I'm eager and excited for them to make me care about any of the primes except the ones I already care about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, so Prime kind of recognizes that, you know, it may have seemed like a good idea at the time, but when I shot the Allspark into space, I really screwed the pooch.
That was maybe not the best idea.
This planet is boned.
Oops.
And so we are going to head out into space, and we're going to get it back.
Yep. Which, again, I guess is sort of how a lot of Transformer stories since the movies have done it.
Yes. And also, you know, sort of the sort of fallibility of Optimus Prime. Not that he's a bad guy or anything, but he is capable of recognizing that he makes mistakes and is willing to correct them.
Yes. Which is important for today's lesson for Bumblebee.
Yes.
That even Optimus Prime can admit when he's made a mistake and fix things.
Yes. So B realizes that, hey, now I gotta go back and I gotta get Windblade.
Gotta go save my adult.
Yes. And that is how the episode ends.
The mm-hmm. end.
So, you know, an okay pair of episodes. I like Teletran X well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I thought that was fun. I thought that was a fun episode. Teletran X is amusing, not quite to the point of becoming frustrating to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is that? The entire point of the episode is a U-turn, effectively.
Yes.
Yeah, but this episode is kind U-turn? Of like Matrix of Leadership episode is just kind of like, I don't know. I guess you could skip it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first 5 minutes of another episode.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's the beginning of an episode about Bumblebee going back and saving Windblade.
Hmm.
Like I've said, this series can be really hit or miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
The miss is pretty bad.
Well, it's a problem. It's like, even when it's good, it's like, oh, I wish the episode was longer.
Mm.
Wish there could have been more of that.
Hmm.
All right, so that does it for this week. We'll be back with more Transformers Cyberverse next week. And until then, we are all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We are on Mastodon. We are on Blue Sky. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as a dollar a month, you can listen to our special monthly episodes for the month of October, because it's spooky season. We always like to do something fun and spooky. So we are going to be subjecting ourselves for the first time to an episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers featuring Pumpkin Rapper because it's Halloween season.
Alpha, bring me three podcasters with attitudes.
So, we have not recorded it yet, but I promise I know it's going to be a lot of fun because
There will be so many digressions.
One of us was exactly the right age for Power Rangers, and two of us were just the right age to realize that Power Rangers was super cringe, but still, like, very much be aware of it at the time. So,
please tell me it's a Balkan Skull heavy episode, because in my attempts to go back and try and watch any of it, Power Rangers, they're the best part.
They are indeed in it.
Thank you.
The sort of non-monster related B plot is that Kimberly is going on a game show and her opponent is Skull.
Oh! Ooh, wait a minute.
Dumb.
I have been informed that sadly we do not even get any Zords for this episode, so I'm greatly disappointed that I don't get to see if the Red Dragon Thunder Zord is as attractive as I remember.
Well, it wouldn't be that one anyway, because this was the first season with, like, the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Hmm. Robots collectively are my hetception. I can be hetero for robots. Also, Tasha Yar also could be hetero for robots, so that's how you know that she's a lesbian.
it should be an interesting episode, but I just checked. It will not be the episode where we find out that Skull is a classically trained pianist.
Oh. So yeah, that is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it as much as I can look forward to watching some Power Rangers, which I guess as long as it's one episode, I'm on board. Let's get in that time machine and head back to the 90s. Hmm. I'll get out some flannel and my Alice in Chains t-shirt and get ready for some 90s. Except it's the other 90s. The 90s, like, the dichotomy of the 90s was cocaine on one side and heroin on the other side.
Hmm.
And Power Rangers is definitely the cocaine side of that. It's like the two...
I don't know if I can speak to that, but I can tell you that I did once go to a convention and saw Amy Jo Johnson on a panel who did inform me that at one point... She and the rest of the teenage cast got super high. I think, on the command center set or something, and they were just like, "What are we doing here?"
It's the two sides of the 90s are the Toxitron sideswipe and the original G2 sideswipe as drawn by Derek Yaniger, and this is definitely the Toxitron sideswipe side of the 90s.
Ooh, I haven't actually.
And I'm just wondering now if they if the guy who played Alpha got in on the action. He was like hotbox, and inside that walk on his head.
I thought the suit actor for Alpha was a woman, but it's been a while since I delved into weird minutia.
Oh, or her, perhaps. I do not know.
So I am definitely excited to watch some Power Rangers and then talk about watching some Power Rangers.
And of course, we'll be back with more Cyberverse next time as we get siloed and finally meet the King of the Dinosaurs. Who could it be?
I cannot imagine. Actually, that episode is pretty good.
All right. So until then, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm gonna go watch some Dracula. I'm David.
Ah, children of the night. Well, except it's Jack Palance, so it's going to be like, music of the night. What music they make. Wait, Udo Kier, what Udo Kier Dracula? Oh, for some reason I thought that was Kinski as Dracula. You said Udo Kier. Different weird German guy, but yes, Udo Kier is alive, and to the best of my knowledge, Werner Herzog has never attempted to kill him. He is in a bunch of Herzog movies, but not He's in the, what's it called? He's in the Warhol Frankenstein. Ooh. I haven't seen that one. I should... Well, I am looking forward to the Robert Eggers Nosferatu by the guy who did The Witch and The Lighthouse. Oh, Shadow the Vampire. And hey, you know what Shadow the Vampire has in common with the new Nosferatu? That's me, Willem Dafoe. I'm something of a vampire myself. Okay, all right. Signing off.